Though this is a benediction, it's not the benediction yet. We're just starting, not ending. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. On this second Sunday of Advent, our theme is peace. This passage that we've just read speaks of God as the God of peace, who enables us to have peace. Peace can and should be the experience of all of God's children. God doesn't want us to be consumed by worry and anxiety and stress. A very worried and anxious Native American walked into a bank. He looked at the bank manager and said, "Grass gone, well dry, sheep dead." The bank manager motioned him over to the back room, and the Indian opened up his security box. It contained a number of gold nuggets. The Indian spoke again, "Grass green, well full, sheep happy." Circumstances hadn't changed except that he had seen that he had money in the bank. He had gold there. He had realized that he had the resources to overcome his circumstances. That knowledge removed his worry, his anxiety, and his stress. The Scottish preacher George Morrison defined peace as the possession of adequate resources. In other words, if there's enough money in your bank account, you don't worry when the bills come in the mail. Now, certainly earthly resources are important. That's why we go to work, to earn enough money to pay all of the bills and perhaps be able to pay for a few pleasures as well. But earthly resources are never enough. They make for a comfortable lifestyle, but they can't bring into our lives that quality of peace that each of us needs. And of course, they were never meant to. True satisfaction, true peace, can only come from God. God himself is the source of our peace. And apart from him, we'll never experience the true peace of heart and mind. Now, some Bible commentators have suggested that the reason that the author of Hebrews uses this title for God, God of peace, is because there was conflict and a lack of peace among this particular group of Christians that he was writing to. There was disunity and disagreements among God's people. And the author addressed many of these issues throughout this letter. Sadly, Christians don't always get along. There's an old rhyme that goes like this. It says, "To live above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with the saints I know, well, that's quite a different story." To dwell with the saints below, well, that's quite a different story. And I say that humorously, but as I do that, I want to take just a moment to talk to you seriously about what's been going on the last little while in our congregation. Many of you will not know, but those who have been involved in this will do. Let me remind you, first of all, of the words of Ephesians 6:12. "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Spiritual warfare is very real. The enemy continues to try and divide and conquer the body of Christ. There have been seemingly several instances over the last couple of months or so when members of our congregation have been offended by each other. I don't know whether I've offended anybody, but if I haven't, I probably will at some point. Maybe I am now by raising the subject. You need to know that this is happening in case you find yourself in that kind of situation over the next little while. It seems that we have this spirit of offense that is invading our midst, trying to stir up trouble, as the enemy likes to do. Do not take it personally. Recognize that it is not the person that's voicing whatever it is that you're being offended by. It's not the situation that your circumstances that you're surrounded with that you see. There is a spiritual force behind it, trying to divide and conquer. I don't know why at this particular time. We just took on 6 new members last week. Our attendance seems to be growing. I suspect the enemy doesn't like that, and so he's out to get us. He's used this tactic before. I remember when I first came to your congregation 27 or 8 years ago now, there had been a big battle, a big separation and a division and a struggle. And I think for the first year and a half I was here, that seemed to be the topic of conversation. It took that long to heal from that situation that happened just before I came. It seems that the enemy's trying to use the same. He's not very smart, the enemy. He tries to do the same old things and expect different results. So let's not have different results. Let us come together. Let us remember that we are family. I'm glad so many people praised our family members today for all the help and support. That's what we're supposed to be. And so let's continue to work together, recognizing that the enemy is not each other. The enemy is him, and our peace comes from God. So let's serve Jesus. Let's tell the enemy to take a hike if he tries to do that to us. So if you're offended by someone or someone has offended you, or you've been the offender of someone else, be quick to solve the issue. Apologize if that's necessary. Take all the necessary steps you need to do to preserve the peace and unity of our church family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're on the same team. We are not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy, and we need to tell them where to go. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, just so you don't get blindsided if somebody says something stupid to you. I say stupid stuff all the time. I'm surprised I'm not in more trouble than I am regularly, but don't take it personally. If I offended Randy or Leonard, I've done it 1,000 times. But if I go too far, tell me I've gone too far, and let's just get back on track. So that was the commercial interlude of don't let it happen to you. And if it does, deal with it quickly. Back to the original message. The only way to bring real harmony and healing in any situation is to fix our eyes on God, who has given us peace with himself through Jesus. The book of Hebrews makes it clear that we have peace with God because of the shed blood of Jesus. In fact, it teaches us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. We're going to gather around the Lord's table this morning. That's what brings us together, our union in Jesus. It always strikes me somehow as wrong when people talk about salvation being free. There's nothing free about salvation. It costs Jesus his life. Someone's phone is ringing. God calling to straighten me out. In the Old Testament, animals were sacrificed, but they only provided a temporary covering. The sacrifice of Jesus supersedes those animal sacrifices. Animal sacrifices were like spraying on lots of deodorant. I remember back in high school, we'd come out of gym class. Some of us would jump in the shower and have a full-on shower. Other guys would just spray on 12 pounds of deodorant and call that good enough. The spraying on of 12,000 pounds of deodorant is like the Old Testament sacrifices of animals. Temporarily covered up the odor, but you needed a clean, full shower to get clean. Jesus makes us clean. The sacrifices covered up temporarily. Like the old hymn says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus and his blood are of eternal, undiminishable virtue, his sacrifice is eternally powerful and everlasting. Our passage speaks of Jesus as that great shepherd of the sheep. Sheep are very valuable creatures. We not only get meat from them, but their hides and their wool provide a number of products, including clothing and carpeting, baseballs and tennis balls. A great number of products come from the fats and fatty acids of the sheep, things like chewing gum and paint and medicines and antifreeze and crayons and shaving cream. From their bones, the horns and hooves, we get things like syringes, piano keys of all things, marshmallows, ice cream, and wallpaper. Sheep and lambs, whether we know it or not, are very much a part of our everyday lives. But we know that sheep are rather defenseless animals. They don't have sharp teeth or razor-sharp claws. They don't have a stinger on their tails or poison that they can squirt on their attackers. They are defenseless. Without a shepherd to watch over them, they're at the mercy of their predators. That was a really good picture for the original readers of this letter. These believers were experiencing hard times. They were very much under attack. And some of these Hebrew Christians were thinking of giving up and going back to the synagogue for safety, because in those days, Christianity was outlawed under Nero, but Judaism was still a recognized and legalized faith. So it would have been much more comfortable for them to give up on Jesus and just go back to the synagogue and go back to the old ways. But God knows our situations. He himself is our shepherd. He's the one who cares for us and guides us and protects us. David wrote in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Or the King James would say, "I shall not want." Here in Hebrews, he's referred to as the great shepherd. There's no safer place for a sheep to be than in the presence of a great shepherd. How's God able to keep us safe? The writer goes on to tell us that he's a God of power. He writes, "Who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus." It might be surprising to notice this is the only mention of the resurrection in the whole of the book of Hebrews. Elsewhere in the letter, the emphasis is on the exaltation, or the risen Christ, the fact that he's seated at the right hand of God. But by his power, God raised Jesus from the dead. And if he can give new life to the dead, then he can certainly resurrect any hope, no matter how lifeless it might seem. With God, nothing is impossible. God's help is not just life for those who are dead. This benediction says there is hope and help for living for him in the present. He says he'll equip us with everything good for doing his will. In the New Testament times, the word translated equip here was used in a number of ways. To a sailor, it meant to rig a ship, for voyage. I got sheep on the brain. To a physician, it meant to set a broken bone. To a fisherman, it meant to mend the nets. And to a soldier, it meant to equip an army for battle. God will never leave us unequipped, unprepared for battle. He'll never send us into action unequipped. He provides us with whatever we need for doing his will. The term equip carries the idea of restoring or helping along or giving encouraging thoughts. In other words, God's not fighting against us, he's fighting for us. God's not sitting in the stands watching us struggle. Instead, he's alongside us, cheering us on. Listen to the words of Romans 8:35-39. Let me have a sip of water before I read that, because I'm not going to make it halfway through. I feel my throat. You're attached. It's okay, no one knows you're going to the washroom. Randy just brings it out of me, what can I say? Back to the message. I have to behave. Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death We face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not only does the Lord equip us, he works in us to do his will. Our text here in Hebrews says that, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The verse doesn't say we're working for God. I know some of us, we think that. But God is working in us. Everything that we're enabled to do is enabled by him. There's no such thing as a self-made Christian. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But if we remain in him, we'll bear much fruit. It's God who equips us with everything good. God works in us what is pleasing to him. He enables us to do his will, and then he blesses us for doing what he's enabled us to do. That's just grace. So what's God working in each of us? What's pleasing to him that will bring glory to him? The very reason that we're put on planet Earth in the first place. That's what spiritual growth is all about. It's not about me, it's not about us, it's all about him and his glory. As the good shepherd, Jesus died for the sheep. As the great shepherd, Jesus lives and cares for the sheep from heaven today, working on our behalf. As the chief shepherd, he'll come for the sheep at his return. Our shepherd cares for his own in the past, the present, and the future. God is always faithful to his promise to never leave us, never forsake us. And so we're able, as Paul instructed the Philippian church, to rejoice in the Lord always, because the Lord is near. He said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So whatever you're facing today, you may know, you know that the peace of God transcends. Even small children need to know or know the need for peace. A four-year-old and a six-year-old presented their mom with a houseplant. They used their own money to buy it, and she was thrilled, of course, with their gifts. But the older one said, somewhat discouraged, there was a bouquet in the flower shop that we wanted to give you, but it was too expensive. It was really pretty, but we just didn't have enough to pay for it. It had a ribbon on it, and it said, rest in peace. And we thought it'd be just perfect for you, because you're always asking for a little peace so that you can rest. Every Christian can rest in peace here and now, and not just when we die. Because as the good shepherd, Jesus died for his sheep. As the great shepherd, he lives and cares for his sheep, working on our behalf. And as the chief shepherd, he'll come for his sheep at his return. Our shepherd cares for his own, past, present, and future. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.